Australia's peak medical group, the AMA, has added its voice to concerns about ventilation standards in buildings to combat the spread of COVID-19. Infectious diseases experts, engineers and scientists are becoming increasingly vocal about the need for better airflow in enclosed spaces where infected aerosol particles can build up. Emily Burke reports.
There's growing evidence that aerosol transmission of COVID-19 has been responsible for several notable super spreader events. A yodeling festival in Switzerland, a South Korean church gathering, an indoor wedding and a choir rehearsal in the United States, a carnival in Germany, and a bus journey in Hunan, just to name a few.
I don't know how many more examples that we need to learn from.
Mary Louise McClaws is Professor of Epidemiology, Hospital Infection and Disease Control and a member of the WHO's expert panel on COVID.
We've had one outbreak in an abattoir followed by a second and a third one. Then we had the residential aged care facility where there was not enough airflow change as well, and people were kept into the facility who had COVID.
Aerosol scientist Alex Huffman is Associate Professor of Chemistry at Denver University.
When you're changing the physical infrastructure of a building, it can be very costly. In the United States, a lot of our school districts are incredibly strapped for cash and have no resources to upgrade anything. So it's a hard sell to be able to convince people that this is something that's in the best interest of the people involved. So I do think it's absolutely a resource issue. But I also think that it's a leadership issue. If you have leaders that are convinced that this is a critical piece of the puzzle, they will find a way to make it happen.
The president of the Australian Medical Association is Omar Khorshid.
So we are very concerned about the potential for further localised outbreaks in places like hospitals and other indoor facilities. Gyms are another example of a place where we believe aerosol spread is highly likely. We would certainly support reviewing national standards around ventilation of public places so that we can reduce the spread of future pandemics like this COVID-19 pandemic.
Would that be a decision made at a national cabinet level? I mean, how would you kind of mandate that across all indoor settings?
Yeah, the first step is to gather the science. And once that science is very clear and there is consensus, then it's a matter of changing standards. It may be building codes. It may be industry-specific quality and safety standards. It may be around workplace safety.
The World Health Organization is now recommending increasing ventilation rates with natural or mechanical methods and limiting air recirculation as part of the layered approach to preventing COVID. And the US Federal Occupational Health and Safety Agency has issued new advice urging employers to optimise building ventilation in workplaces. But it's an issue in Australia too.
As long as people believe washing their hands and staying 1.5 metres away is going to keep them safe, they're working on wrong information. This is all about ventilation. Audit and improve ventilation systems in public and private spaces.
Dr. David Berger is a UK-trained GP who's been working in remote and regional Australia and advocating on behalf of frontline healthcare workers.
So we're in a situation now where the evidence is running ahead of the guideline-setting groups. It's a bit like trying to turn an oil tank around. It takes a lot of sea room to do that. Now, in normal times, in inverted commas, that isn't such a problem. But actually, this is really urgent.
But engineer and occupational hygienist Kate Cole says the issue goes beyond the health sector.
Whether it's a hospital, an aged care facility, an office complex, a school, everyone should be looking at what can they do to increase the amount of fresh air, remove the amount of contaminated air, and increase the volume of air going into their spaces.
And she says the precautionary principle should be applied.
It's all about not having to wait for 100% certain evidence to act and to protect people, but it's about applying all reasonably practicable measures to keep people safe in their workplace and not wait for peer-reviewed scientific evidence to come out, which might take 6 to 12 months, and it's just too late by that time.
That's occupational hygienist Kate Cole. Emily Burke with that report.